Hello and welcome to the Soundwave Podcast, Music Technology Stories. For people who love the art and science of listening to and enjoying recorded sound, here it's all about the art and magic of sound reproduction and related human stories. We survey music, technology, and stories from the early beginnings of relatively low high fidelity to the heyday of the 70s high fidelity and the modern age of digital and streaming. I'm your host, Pat Shepard. Spatial audio support was recently announced by Apple as a new and free addition to your Apple Music subscription. Today, we're going to be diving into it. We're going to be looking at Apple's announcement for the support for both Dolby Atmos and lossless audio. Are you not sure what that's all about? Curious about what lossless audio is and does it really matter? Where did spatial audio come from? Is spatial audio going to be a game changer? Stay tuned, as those are the topics we're going to be talking about today. There was a major announcement from Apple in its press release of May 17, 2021, that has two separate announcements inside the one press release. First, it's releasing its entire catalog of music in lossless audio format. And second, it has offered now support for spatial audio. So what is lossless audio? What is spatial audio? Where did spatial audio come from? Does any of this really matter? Well, let's cover lossless audio first because it's less likely to be revolutionary than spatial audio. The press release says Apple Music will also make its catalog of more than 75 million songs available in lossless audio. Apple uses ALAC, Apple Lossless Audio Codec, to preserve every single bit of the original audio file. This means Apple Music subscribers will be able to hear the exact same thing the artist created in the studio. However, in an article by The Verge, they reference an interview to Billboard given by Eddie Q, Apple's Senior Vice President of Services and the person who oversees Apple Music, who didn't mince words, that the sudden proliferation of lossless audio isn't going to significantly evolve or change how we listen to the music and the next generation of music streaming. He says, there's no question it's not going to be lossless. The reality of lossless is, if you take 100 people and you take a stereo song in lossless, and you take a song that's been in Apple Music that's compressed, I don't know that if 99 or 98% can't tell the difference. Q has regularly done blind tests with Apple Music team, and they confirm how rare it is for anyone to be able to consistently recognize lossless audio. You can tell somebody, oh, you're listening to lossless, and they tell you, oh, wow, that sounds incredible. They're just saying it because you told them it's lossless, and it sounds like the right thing to say, but they can't tell. So it's not likely that lossless audio is going to change how we, you, me, the regular folks, listen to music. Let's look at spatial audio and see if maybe it will change how you listen. The other news referenced in the announcement goes on to say, Apple is bringing spatial audio with support for Dolby Atmos to Apple Music. Dolby Atmos is revolutionary, immersive audio experience that enables artists to mix so the sound comes from all around and from above. By default, Apple Music will automatically play Dolby Atmos tracks on all AirPods and Beats headphones with the H1 or W1 chip, as well as the built-in speakers in the latest versions of iPhone, iPad, and Mac. Apple Music will be adding new Dolby Atmos tracks constantly and will be curating a special set of Dolby Atmos playlists to help listeners find the music they love. In addition, albums that are available in Dolby Atmos will have a badge on them so that you can recognize them easily. The launch includes, apparently, thousands of songs in spatial audio from some of the world's biggest artists and from all different genres, including hip-hop, so on and so forth. The press release says, Apple Music is working with artists and labels to add new releases to the best catalog as more artists begin to create music specifically for spatial audio. Together, Apple Music and Dolby are making it easy for musicians, producers, and mix engineers to create songs in Dolby Atmos. Initiatives include doubling the number of Dolby-enabled studios in major markets, offering education programs, and providing resources to independent artists. So, the Apple Dolby partnership is all about creating both a distribution pipe for the music as well as a platform for more artists to start creating new music with spatial audio specifically in mind as one of the tools for composition. But what is spatial audio and where did it come from? Wikipedia defines spatial audio as composed music that intentionally exploits sound localization, a listener's ability to identify the location or origin of a detected sound in direction and distance. As Abbey Road Studios engineer says, it is any audio which gives you a sense of space beyond conventional stereo, allowing the user to pinpoint where a sound is coming from, whether it's above, below, or a full 360 degrees around you. With the introduction of the third dimension, you have a sense of the exact location of sound sources from all around. You're probably familiar with spatial audio in the form of Dolby Atmos used in movie theaters, where sound such as a helicopter seems to come from the front and moves to the back of the theater as it also moves from left to right. Dolby Atmos is the underlying technology that spatial audio sits on that enables an even more immersive listening experience. Not only do you get a multitude of audio channels delivered by Dolby Atmos, but you also get to move around inside the audio space. Anyone will be able to listen to Dolby Atmos tracks on Apple Music, except Android users at launch. But spatial music will be limited to specific devices as well, as we kind of mentioned earlier. So where did spatial audio come from? Well, in a fascinating online article from Red Bull Music Academy, A Visual History of Spatial Sound by Harley Brown, he talks about the origins of some of the most formative developments in the history of spatial sound. In the mid-1500s, Belgian composer Adrian Villard took advantage of one of Venice's gilded Basilica San Marco Cathedral most distinctive features, two organs facing each other across the pews. So unlike the period's dominant vocal style, polyphony, multiple voices singing in unison, he divided the church choir into two and directed each of them to sing in alternation, creating a lattice of voices over the worshipers. There were other experiments in the 50s and 60s, such as the truly strange Symphonie pour un homme seul by Pierre Schaeffer and his pupil Pierre Henry, which I listened to and found the odd clangs, vocalizations, and noise to be moderately disturbing. It had five speakers arranged to give a spatial sensation. Then, Karl Stockhausen wrote Kontakte, the first composition ever written for quadraphonic sound systems. Alas, we know how quadraphonics went the way of the dodo bird. The article goes on to mention ambisonics, a technique for recording, mixing, and playback of 360 degree audio, developed in the 1970s by a British research institution, which languished in obscurity until the boom in home entertainment systems in the 1990s, and today's new frontiers in virtual reality video games, panoramic YouTube and Facebook videos, and 3D multimedia installations. 2012, Dolby Atmos, from Wikipedia. The first Dolby Atmos installation was in El Capitan Theater in Los Angeles for the premiere of The Brave in June 2012. Throughout 2012, it saw a limited release of about 25 installations worldwide, with an increase to 300 locations in 2013. There were over 6,000 locations as of July 2020. Dolby Atmos has also been adopted for home theater format with its audio component of Dolby Cinema. Most electronic devices since 2016, as well as smartphones after 2017, have been enabled for Dolby Atmos recording and mixing. That is all great for movie theaters and even more sophisticated home theater setups, but what about music? The reality, from my experience, is that most people listen to music on headphones now and are certainly not listening through home audio systems equipped with five or more speakers arranged around the room, including overhead speakers. Does that mean you need to invest thousands of dollars in a home Dolby Atmos system to enjoy the newly released Apple Spatial Music? No. So let's talk about Spatial for headphones. From Wikipedia, Dolby Atmos also has headphone implementations for PCs, the Xbox One, Xbox Series XS, and mobile phones. They work by using audio processing algorithms to convert the Atmos object metadata into a binaural 360 output using two headphone speakers. This technique is an improvement on the previous Dolby headphone technology, allowing for infinite channels of sound to be processed into a virtual surround experience. From my various readings and studying on this subject, the science behind being able to trick the ears and the brain in this way is called psychoacoustics. And while interesting, it's certainly outside the scope of this particular episode. The gist, however, is that they use various techniques such as adding delay to specific tracks to cause a sound heard initially in one ear with a delay in the other ear, which will cause a sense of depth beyond simply panning left and right. So now let's talk about Apple's support for spatial audio. Apple Music service now features songs that have been remixed to include multiple channels of sound around and above you, to give the impression that you're sitting in the middle of a recording studio or a live concert. It gives the impression of channels through regular stereo headphones, although in this case requires dedicated Dolby Atmos music mixes. In terms of what headphones are compatible, all Apple's Beats headphones with H1 or W1 chip support the new surround mixes when played through an iPhone, iPad, Mac, or Apple TV. However, many of the decent headphones out there also have these chips. From an article in PocketLint, third-party headphones won't switch Dolby Atmos support on and off automatically, though, just Apple's. To listen on separate headphones, you need to go to Settings, Music, Dolby Atmos, and switch it to Always On. This only works with spatial audio with Dolby Atmos. Regular movies and TV spatial audio is still an Apple device exclusive. So let's talk about my experience with spatial audio on Apple Music. First, I listened to the demo song called Marvin Gaye from Mono to Stereo, where the narrator explains how they took the song from mono to stereo and then spatial. It changes right in front of your ears. It was kind of interesting, but I thought the song was too short to really get into any serious listening. Then I listened to Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, which was already masterfully mixed, and really started to hear the promise with the incredible layering of the voices and the clarity of Brian May's lead guitar. But what really blew me away was hearing Rush's Tom Sawyer. The power and clarity was just jaw-dropping. The professor, Neil Peart, may rest in peace. His drums were fully present and super clear. The synth had its own space. The bass guitar was incredibly defined. It was absolutely stunning what Spatial Mix did for the song in terms of presence and clarity. I would listen to the songs and turn on and off Spatial, and it was amazing the difference you could hear with stereo becoming noticeably more flat. One thing you have to watch out for when you do this kind of A-B testing is that the volume, or at least the perceived volume, of spatial songs are quieter. In addition to being careful not to blow your ears out, you don't want to make that difference kind of skew your judgment. Just be aware it's a little quieter, but it's a much bigger panorama. The future for spatial audio looks, or sounds, promising, especially because of a few key factors. One, Apple's massive support ensures that the pipeline for music from creators to listeners is going to be there. So sort of a traditional supply and demand or demand and supply model here. Direct Apple support for Dolby Atmos solidifies its likely predominance in the standard as the standard for creating and rendering spatial audio. Third, the fact that most people now listen to their music predominantly through headphones that are going to be AirPod Pros, AirPod Maxes, or some other set that feature the required chips, as mentioned before. The reality is that the existing spatial audio tracks on Apple Music are hit and miss, since none of them, to my knowledge, were ever written and engineered with spatial in mind. Several of the ones I listened to were remarkable, as I mentioned, Rush. But I'm a musician, well, a drummer anyway, so I have a heightened awareness of this. Still, it was quite stunning to turn spatial on and off and hear the difference. One would be naive to think Apple is doing this entirely for altruistic purposes. They need to compete and differentiate Apple's music with other streaming services. In terms of the larger ecosystem, Apple also competes at the listening device level. So the more they can make their music ecosystems and the devices work together and sound better than the competition, the better the service will do, and therefore the more the pipeline for spatial audio will grow. Another thought is that while some people will really love spatial audio and what it adds to the music in terms of space and clarity, others may not notice, at least not at an overtly conscious level. So there may be a percentage of people who think, oh, that sounds nice, but not at the conscious level and being aware of the spatial panorama in front of them. And that's okay. What is really exciting is to imagine what artists will do with the sonic palette that spatial audio presents. I could imagine geniuses like Jacob Collier doing amazing things with it. In an interview I listened to on the Dolby.com page, he said what I think sums up the promise of spatial audio. I'm paraphrasing a bit, but he says, "I think of it as more axis, more dimensions, a whole new level of clarity within each detail. You can play with the relationship between sounds in more colorful ways. You can carve out room for one sound. You can hear so much more than you would normally hear in a regular setting. You have no limit. You can make the sound go zooming from left to right rear and up and over. It makes me smile. It makes me happy. It makes me engaged. It makes me tune in. You're able to bring life to music in a whole new way. It's going to change the game for me, I think." I think that sums it up really well. So I, for one, look forward to hearing what spatial audio can do for artists and musicians who compose music specifically and directly for this new medium. All right, that wraps up our discussion of spatial audio. I, for one, am looking forward to where this may take us. Some of the songs that I listen to really show a lot of promise. So make sure you visit my website, www.thesoundwaveshow.com. I'll have links to all of the articles that I talked about and referenced in this podcast, so you can go there and kind of read the articles yourself. They're very good. So make sure you subscribe, rate, and like this podcast. Stay tuned for the next podcast. I will have these out on the regular bi-weekly basis, the cadence that I've been keeping these out on. I have to admit that the summer July 4th week kind of threw me off by a week, but we'll hopefully get back on track. So stay tuned, and I look forward to seeing you next time. All content, except where noted, is copyright Pat Shepard and thesoundwaveshow.com. The theme song is something I put together in GarageBand. See you next time.